My name is Lisa Clark, and I represent Dignity Health, and I'm happy to watch the clock book up to 35 minutes for about a minute. This court should be told that churches must establish church plans. Such a requirement would be radical and extraordinary. It would mean that three federal agencies and hundreds if not thousands of religious agencies have been willingly violating ERISA for a third of a century. That can be right for three reasons. First, there is the text. Second, numerous federal statutes presume that church need not establish a church plan. And three, the contemporaneous, consistent, and long-standing view of three federal agencies warrants substantial deference. The text, right, so C1 says that the plan established and maintained by a church includes a plan maintained by an associated organization. So C1 does provide an alternative way for plans to satisfy subsection A. And Congress also intended to require churches to establish C1 plans. The statute that ran in C1, a plan maintained by a church, includes a plan maintained by an associated organization.
It's not the language requiring C1 given to us by the Third Circuit. That's a matter of science. The C1 veterans are entitled to hear how the C1 veterans includes vaccination requirements. Now,
it's so
separate analysis. If it's still just a general aspect, what it includes vaccination card or supplemental card, whether the insurer is C1 or not, or
sure. So not only just question set of text, but you also have to know, hold on, there for 30 years, healthy cards have been getting benefits. And you also know that three other federal statutes presume that healthy cards get benefits. And so the reason I'll stay on the text. Oh, yes, that's covered without regards to spelling. Absolutely. The council debate. It's a nonsensical reading is because your common sense reads that word disability as to all the work in the disability statute. Here, established is meaningless. It's a worthless thing. It has nothing to do with disability, which is the whole statute. And that's why it's a trick-up, though. The council could have given and should have given a different answer. It not only would have had the plain text, it would have had the other statutes, it would have had 30 years of guardsmen without regard to disability. What I see when you read that is disability pattern, disability is full work. Here, maintenance is doing the work, and the other side will not, and never ever has, nor will they ever give you a reason why a church should have to establish these plans. It's just not a reason. Unlike your example where you hope that the guardsmen might be disabled. So I can get back to the text. We talked about how Dr. You have to start with Section A, otherwise the use of the term. Right. But the only way to give meaning to the use of the word established, Congress's inclusion in C1, established, is to treat C1 plans and A plans with parity. And that's why the Third Circuit didn't have a reason why they're reading what to render the word established in C1 as superfluous. They thought our reading rendered the word established in A superfluous. That's what they said. But that's plainly not true, because any plan that for church employees or church employees that's not maintained by C1 entity has to be established by a church. So Section A covers entities that C1 doesn't. It also is a drafting matter, because Congress used this construct of established and maintained in both A and C1. You had to leave the word established in A because that's what the Institute for Business did.
And why did they amend A to make it in the district?
They could have amended A, but as you know, Congress is entitled to act economically and efficiently, and as the Supreme Provision, it would have been Congress. Again, I don't think the other side wants to do is just say, well, the maintains what's been modified. We don't have the immunity to establish the C1. But not just leave the word established and exploitable. And again, this is the thing that, I mean, when you talk about the spread of statutes that presuppose that the C1 plan has the same favored treatment as plan does by insurers. But it defies real common sense and all sense of deference that three agencies in a statute like this with so much complexity and interrelationship with other statutes were just asleep at the switch and missed the boat for 32 years and erroneously issued 500 determinations, each of which had massive financial, legal, and religious consequences. And then, if you can read their analysis, it's pretty obvious that the memo of 1983 is quite terrible. It goes through A, it goes through C1, and reveals that it's putting those plans on parity. And then explains that retirement committees meet the definition of C1, just like our factor. And moves on and recounts the history of the IRS opposing the bill and having previously ruled the church hospital not covered, but having perceived Congress as an overruled interpretation. And thus, it's no longer necessary to decide if the nuns were the Korean churches or part of the church. You are talking about. No, all of the parity except for third century, let's be clear. Again, the other side will not be able to articulate why your church established that plan helps the orderly or the cook or the janitor. Everyone agrees that the plans can cover employees outside the church and be maintained outside the church. There is no reason, rational or irrational, to make a church establish these plans. We know it doesn't serve any purpose for beneficiaries. Even if you cite it, there are steps and instances of church plans going bankrupt. It's not clear how the church established it when it either prevented it or helped the situation.
Also, the reason is because this question of church is a common thing among citizens of a regulated church or not. That's the reason that's established by a church.
No, with all due respect, because it's not. Again, there's no difference between a church or a church school, whether the church school is part of the church or next door across the street, with respect to the First Amendment that makes a difference to establish the plan. If anything, all the constitutional arguments were in our way because it introduces their new, radical new construction that's never been applied. They're the very same problems that were faced in the 1980 Congress. It would discriminate between churches and their agencies, having us decide that just because nuns are female, they can't run congregations, somehow they're not a church when they're doing Jesus' ministry. It also interferes with church governance. And finally, which I think is the most troubling, is it discriminates between hierarchical and congregational denominations. Yes, I mean, that's the reason why this is somewhat of a civil requirement. But in this case, it's clear that sponsored congregations, which are conceded to be a church, funded, adopted, merged, and executed this plan. So, 402 of the record is the signature page that establishes the plan with all the employers of the set of plans who are signing it as affiliates, which are identical to the employer. And under the case law, and there's no dispute that nuns funded, merged, adopted, and executed these are disputed. What the other side says is that sponsored congregations can use magic words that have been previously established. But the case law doesn't require a magic words requirement. It just requires some implementation on behalf of the employer relationship. So our view is that there are constitutions, plan went into effect was January 1, but the actual execution document is the signature page on the 30th. In the December 19th document, there's an independent document for all the seven plans, and each plan, previous sponsor of the plan, had to execute and agree to merge. The church unit? No, it just goes by 4130. It's been 32 years. There's never been such a requirement. So the IRS has never looked at that. There are no cases like that because there are no, there's just a case law of what it means to establish, which is just very new. I don't know of any case law. Yes. And if you, now, the reason why, I know you said you, I'm supposed to suppose you disagree, we're fine. We are fine with a holding that would limit this case to establishment that would take care of the situation. So that's the retirement committee, which is the retirement committee whose principal purpose is the administration of the plan. Okay. The
principal
purpose is a hospital. Yes, one small caveat. Deputy maintains the plan in the sense that it funds it, but the retirement committee administers it. Yes, but this cost is a lot. Maintain includes funding administration, and that's why it's a condition. No, it administers, which is all. Maintain is defined in the provision we're interpreting to be either administration or funding.
Either or.
And we'll go for 32 years again, because all three federal agencies, this has never been a question. That's all of them that involves these type of retirement committees. And if you were to disagree, it would be strange. You're just basically making a retirement committee. You could call it something else. We call it a retirement organization. But it has to be maintained by a principal purpose organization. Because the retirement committee is well, the IRS told us that in 1983. I know you're sure you don't. Well, there's been a new really good thing with all of their use to say this text is clear against me. It's very broad. It says an organization, incorporated, or otherwise.
Well, an organization, whether it's
a corporation
or
a corporation, it's the other one. I don't think so. So what we cite in the briefs is the definitional section for this itself of an employee organization. An employee organization includes a committee. So I think at least you have potential to look right there in the statute that organization is defined to mean committee.
civil law corporation or otherwise. This is not part of the decision. These are the people that are engaged with the best of all cases.
That's right. And I think that that language plainly covers us, or at least it obviously covers us. And the... I think it fits the plain language. And it does. Three other federal statutes presuppose that the entity's plan is similar to a church plan for purposes of the tenants and securities law. And all that you would be doing is basically saying, well, it's not a policy or a condition of motivation, but this is simply required. And again, you're just making a church figure out how to get its retirement committee out of the hospital. Again, to no end beneficiaries. All you're doing is saying, well, we should just do everything we can to read the statute against the hospitals. And so that's our no purpose to the beneficiaries whatsoever. And you're mucking around with religion in the three respects that I talked about. It's just because you're telling, and it would be very difficult, especially with the folks trying to say, Protestant and Jewish religions particularly, that don't belong to a particular school. They have no, they're not controlled by any given church, and it makes it very difficult for them to find a staple. You're basically talking about a Baptist use camp trying to separately incorporate its retirement plan, which to me seems a little extreme. And again, I think that it would be extraordinary. I know of no case ever, because that I've seen to people or otherwise, that would have sent three federal agents on the test statute to do this, but I don't know. Well, sorry. You're talking about skin more difference on steroids. It was steroids. I've never seen a case. Well, is there? Can I have preserved? If they're in the Supreme Court and you've never seen a case where they've said it'll be 30 years, they were super persuaded, the language is really plain. I don't know how the government missed this. I don't know all these billions of dollars behind all this. But the IRS has hundreds of Congress employees that have been in their statute every day. It just costs much that none of us have had a hospital's exempt based on these retirement committees. To upset them, and they say for no reason has ever been identified, seems pretty extreme. Not to say no, absolutely. This is a private corporation. It's just a church can be incorporated. There's no such thing as a church plan unless it covers a church employee or a church affiliated employee. The employer has to approve employees. So, I don't know what you mean by buying corporations. Baptist churches are not going around buying corporations, but they know churches are incorporated. There's nothing evil about the word incorporated. If you're talking about for profit, that can't happen. It can't happen that a for profit entity employees the non church plan because the definition of 33. And in the IRS, it's very specific. The employer has to know about its corporate employees. I understand that. So you're saying that that's well, again, for no reason, that those beneficiaries that are like every orphanage is like domestic abuse. If you don't read any nuns, what they do is it's ministry. So in the hospital, they're doing schools and domestic violence and orphanages. And something about the fact that it's big seems to be bothering you. So here's the thing. Legally, it would not take anything other than implementation of a benefit structure. However, practically, that would not mean that the church has to fund a plan that would be virtually impossible for Jewish and Protestant organizations to comply with this requirement. They have to find these people. I mean, every Jewish organization that I know of and a member of does not have a set plan. You have to go find one that will establish their plan can't open itself up to assert state law liability. And even if it's sued at the end of the day.
Are you telling me that insurance companies can't sue the state for violations
of the judgment? They can under C-1. If you're saying that. They would have to find a synagogue. You're talking synagogues that don't have a member, a steeple, a building.
Are you talking about the R.O.A. Section A Jewish
church? I don't know of any where the synagogue or a Baptist church has established a plan on behalf of a Baptist organization or a Jewish organization. Because most of these congregational organizations and the Muslims speak the same way. They are internationally, they're not regionally associated with the church or synagogue, or they're geographic. I can give you examples of all the examples. I'm more familiar with the Jewish ones than the Baptist ones. It would be extremely hard for these organizations. So you're punishing the congregation. The church at least is controlled, and whether they stay controlled. So is the Catholic hospital. That's the problem. The church community center, they're not, I mean, not the Catholic, the Association of Reformed Rabbis is a congregation. And to be honest to you, we're taking staples, we're talking Storm of Leeds and Prayer on a, you know, a lift. So, no, I don't. And again, I think there actually is a reason the IRS has been doing it this way, and it has been working, so it doesn't get into any of this mess. Again, when they come here and say, well, maybe you should do something with this church, you're talking about a church or synagogue that may or may not have assets, and that would have no way of knowing what it's being sold into, and it's not clear whether it would do it, even if they got sued. There are Jewish hospitals that are in the IRS, but the 500-letter rulings in the record show a lot of variety of different types of religious organizations that maintain these plans. A lot of them are hospitals, but some of them are different. It's true, I understand what you're saying about hospitals. It's true that it is such an unpleasant enterprise that it's only the nuns and the Jews that want to do it. It's not profit, and it's not fun, but they do it because for religious motivation, and no one is going to question that. Well, they certainly haven't clearly excluded them, but that's where democracy is. By the way, the Department of Labor has never been the most employer-friendly, and they have said any rulings. When you talk about these remedial purposes from all three agencies, the termination provision is run by the PBGC. They haven't had a problem. The IRS hasn't had a problem. The Department of Labor hasn't had a problem. And having the church established doesn't solve it. You have had those 60,000 employees who stepped up to be found by ERISA. You just want a church to establish. And talking about Congress is fugitive. Well, then you're just saying, even though there's no good reason, we just want the rest to be as broad as possible. But you're not saying that the state court is saying, we're just going to vote against you, even though the requirement reading of the statute doesn't have a fair purpose, at least the big guys do. But I can say one other thing about Congress. Three federal statutes presuppose the YMCA, which the law is pre-dented for the other side. It's assuming that Congress just went out there and picked a Christian organization, and the Christian health club is the only religious health club, and that plan has been around for 80 years, never been established by a church. They're a church plan, and the way it's worded makes absolutely no sense if there's a church statute required. And that's the same with the other two provisions. So this congressional thing that you're coming up with is not in the legislative history. The legislative history, in fact, says there's force in the establishment plans. And so you're just reading into it a purpose that no other agency has seen for 30 years. That's the problem. So
So, refers to this
Thank you.